Are you here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine? Josh is actually in the studio to talk about the new album.
Hello, Josh.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Welcome to the show. Well, thank you for because you've come straight off stage in beautiful The Carole King musical.
Yeah, we finished at 3:35.
Right, and here you are. How'd the show go today?
Great. Yeah, really great audience, and they were so appreciative, and it always makes you feel great when you come off stage and an audience has loved a show that you've been doing that much. It's so lovely.
This is a pretty big deal for you, isn't it? You know, getting the male lead in this show, because it's a world famous musical right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to think about it like that. The audition process was like it always is. You just go in there and try and do the best version of the character that I can do, or the most interesting or compelling version that I can do. I didn't do research in terms of like watching the show or anything. I just read the script and tried to create something that they enjoyed. And I mean, getting that call from my agent 6 months after the first audition to say they got the role was, it's always a very emotional moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an emotional guy, so.
is this the biggest role you've had?
In terms of the commerciality of the show, is that even a word, commerciality? We're going to make it a word.
Why not? You used it.
Yeah. So, I mean, West Side Story, playing the lead, was a huge role, and but it's a show that's been out many times before.
Yep.
So to be in the original Australian cast as
absolutely
the lead role is always a really big deal, and it's such a special show.
And the fact is that your face is on trams all around Melbourne. You just look up and a tram goes by and there's Josh Pitterman.
Giving it a sassy smile. Well, the first couple of times that happens, you're like, I'm on a tram. And then you go, I'm on a tram, people.
There's another one going past.
Obviously musical theatre is your mainstay, and that's what you've done. But you've also been a singer, because Ten Tenors, you were part, and Ten Tenors are big around the world, aren't they?
Really big around the world. Like, they have such a huge fan base in the States and all through Europe, and even here at home. You know, this is where the Ten Tenors started. It was just 10 guys in the 90s who were studying at the Queensland Con and tried to get a bit of beer money together on the side, and it was around the time when the Three Tenors were doing so well. They thought they'd they'd outdo them by seven, and and it turned up to be very, very big, and it's been going on, you know, with different forms of groups for 20 years now, which is pretty crazy. And so I did it 2007, 2008, 2009, that sort of time.
And people come and go in between, don't
they? Do
they?
But I mean, I think I was in a time where we still had some of the original people. And it was just sort of going through that period of transition from a sort of a band to a touring group that had an ever-changing cast. So that was my sort of bread and butter. Like, singing that classical stuff is what I've done the most of. And I mean, I've always sung a lot around town here and in Sydney at different functions and whatever, and it's always been, you know, Bocelli stuff or Nessun Dorma or, you know, The Prayer, or that sort of stuff is like my thing. But then when it came to time to wanting to do a solo album in that sort of vein, which is always what I wanted to do, I didn't want to repeat songs that had already been done. I wanted to sort of shake it up a little bit in that genre. And I mean, I, as much as I love singing that stuff, and that's, you know, what I love to sing most, what I listen to is sort of pop and rock of every generation. Like, I mean, I love the Goo Goo Dolls, I love Fleetwood Mac, I love Elton John, I love Billy Joel, I love Radiohead. I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to my music taste, and so I wanted that to sort of
reflect
in the album.
Now,
and try and create those songs and flip them into that style, which isn't always easy.
No, and in a different language in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, here you are. Last week, the album debuted at number one on the adult, on the classical stroke crossover chart.
On the Arias, which was like...
Aria.
I didn't know what to do. There was like 80 of me in a row. I was so beside myself. I just didn't expect it. You know, it was really a passion project.
Yeah. And what, about 5 or 6 years? Been thinking about this?
Yeah. So John Foreman produced it, and John and I did the first arrangement of Unchained Melody, which is the second track on the album, in 2011. and presented that to Sony. And they really loved it. And we sort of worked on bits of the album, but then it got put on ice and I moved to London and was doing a show over there and was doing Hairspray over there. And then the whole project sort of got put on ice until about 2015. So we worked on it for a bit and then we didn't work on it. And then we've worked on it pretty intensely for a few years. And then for me, it was just about the achievement of getting it out there. That was really what I wanted to do, was music that I'm passionate about singing, and I love orchestral music. So to have that moment when I went over to Prague and do it with the Philharmonic,
excuse me,
which that was crazy. I guess we'll have time to talk about that, but it was just about getting it out there and for it to be received so well and for people to really enjoy it. And you know, I've been inundated with messages on social media and texts and people I haven't seen since high school coming out of the woodwork, and they just love it so much. I'm in a state of shock about it. And I mean, I'm just really grateful that people actually want to listen to this and that, God, it went to number one. Like, what?
now, we need to actually just take this back a little bit, Josh. Now, you obviously, this is, like you said, it's a passion, all the songs you've chosen.
Yeah.
Now, you've obviously had an interest in music then from a very young age.
Yeah.
So for those listeners who don't know who you are,
yeah,
and who may not have seen the Trams, where did you actually start your musical career and your involvement and love for music?
I'm going to say it started with my sister in the living room when we used to listen to all the pop stuff that was on cassette at the time.
Yeah.
And the first cassette I got was What a Man and Shoop by Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
And the first CD I ever got was Crazy Sexy Cool by TLC.
Yep.
Closely followed by Walthamstow by E17.
Oh, look at you. You remember it all.
I do, because there's like my seminal years of music was all sort of pop, and I guess there's R&B and stuff, yep, in there, and there's some hip hop in there. And then I just became a sort of sucker for pop hits of and rock hits of the 90s. That was really my thing. And it wasn't probably until, you know, go through uni. I studied musical theatre at uni and listened to, a lot of musicals, but a lot of sort of 70s rock and pop. And, I got into bands like Fleetwood Mac, who is probably still my favourite band ever. And then artists, like Aussie artists like John Farnham. I mean, how can I not love John Farnham? Like, he's just the voice.
Yep.
And so doing Burn For You in Italian on there was like a nod to sort of my favourite Australian singer of all time. I heard that Lisa Edwards, who's his backup singer, heard the album the other day. And that's just like, Lisa Edwards heard it. So maybe John will hear it. Craig Newman, who is John's bass player, is the bass player on the album.
Right.
So okay. Maybe John will hear it. I hope John gets to hear it.
Well, let's play another track
play
from
Burn
it.
For You.
Burn For You? Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for putting us on the spot that we've now got to find it. Now, are you a Melbourne boy?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Born and bred.
And you know, like that, this city, you know, is so powerful within the arts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very special city like that. It's sort of, I feel like Melbourne's like the New York and Sydney's like the LA. When it comes to the, didn't we get voted the best music scene city in the world a couple of weeks ago?
Head of population.
Which is awesome. I think that's really true. I think it's a very special city for music and theatre.
Right, okay. Right. We've got the song. So what is it again that we're playing?
Burn For You.
And who sang
John
it?
Farnham, and my version is Vivo Per Te.
Oh, here we go.
Sera mi sono messo nei guai, mi sento sempre più giù, così tanto che non ti vedo, la distanza è sempre di più, non riconosco la voce che hai e non mi riconosco. male sentirsi sempre soli, e così mi sento anch'io. È impossibile spiegare, ma credimi, amor mio, vivo per te, che non vorrei per te, vivo per te, vivo per te. Quel che non cambia è che manchi tu. Vivo per te, che non farei per te.
Now, we've actually got a message, David, from one of our listeners who says that's a better version than the original.
Oh,
love it.
So, it's a not.
Listener from South Yarra.
Sorry.
Unfortunately, didn't put their name to it.
Sorry, so. Anonymous, but I can't agree with that because it's Farnham. He's like, it's like...
No, Josh, you're selling yourself short.
I think you should just take it and
I'll
accept
take it.
That.
I thank you. I thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
And while we're on that, if anybody else wants to text us or contact us...
I'm sounding very serious about this whole thing. But really, I'm a very, like, silly guy. So if you've got some silly questions you want to send through, please.
Now, Josh, you've been involved in the entertainment industry for quite a few years, and you've even helped Joy out a couple of times at fundraisers,
yep.
Which is lovely of you. You know that we're a community radio station. We don't have, we struggle with funding. So... It's a thank you from Joy today for what you've done for Joy.
Well, I love Joy and I will always help Joy, and Joy always helps me. I mean, I've been coming on this radio station since, I think my first interview was with Will Conyers in 2007 or 8. So I've been coming on this radio station for a decade and you've always been so supportive of me. And so if I can sing at anything or support you guys in any way, I'm always going to do that.
Fantastic. Now... Other languages, like, why are you singing in different languages? Because you're a smart ass and you can?
Yeah, that's the main reason. And I've had a couple of people going, why didn't you sing in French as well? I'm like, I'm not that much of a smart ass, but I am a smart ass. Well, because it's really the origin of, classical singing.
Yep.
Is to sing in those other languages. And there's something that can be, I wanted the music to sort of transcend language. I want it to be like a visceral experience for people where they can just close their eyes and feel rather than, they know most of these songs. They know the lyrics already. So why not have an alternative experience to these songs? So, Italian and Spanish are languages I've sung in for over a decade now. They're languages that I've studied at different times that I'm passionate about singing in. So it just made sense to me. But there are four tracks in English too for those people who are like, just give me English. So there's some English too.
Now, the artwork on the album cover is for, you know, like, it could be anywhere in the world. You know, like, the shots are, and beautiful, beautiful photography, but they're the laneways of Melbourne.
They are the laneways of Melbourne. So the whole vision for me for the album was to sort of bring Milan to Melbourne and have a real sense of Europe in this album. I mean, obviously singing in Italian and Spanish is going to do that, but I wanted the visual of it, when if people buy a physical copy of it, to feel like they are getting a little bit of Europe. But then, because I'm a Melbourne boy at heart and I was born and bred here and have lived here forever, I didn't want to take it, like, those shots overseas. I want to take them in Melbourne and show how European this city is, because it's exceptionally European. I mean, any Europeans who come here always feel like it's a second home. You know, yeah. You walk through De Grave Street and you go, God, that could be anywhere. It could be Granada, could be Milan, it could be Madrid. So, you know, we have a very special European city.
Yeah, and the laneways do that. And yeah. Highlight
and
that
the food and the coffee and the wine and like that's...
And the crowds.
And the crowds, like, totally.
How busy it is all the time.
And I love that about Melbourne.
And the wonderful thing about this is the packaging, the whole package is... this is ready for the world. Are you going to look maybe that you're going to release it overseas?
Yeah. I mean, those talks have been happening between my label, Ambition, and other labels overseas already. And, you know, we'll just see what comes. I mean, I'm excited about any possibilities with it. I've always been someone who doesn't sort of settle for reaching the top of the tin shed. I was like, why not go for the stars? And if you fall, that's sort of my vibe. And so if we can take it overseas, then, yeah, I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. As a great Bulldogs supporter.
Oh, that's your that's my thing.
Marcus Bontempelli said in the preliminary final week, after they beat GWS 2 years ago, he said, why not us?
You see, you can
why
tell you
not? I can flip anything to the Western Bulldogs.
You can tell you're obviously a true Melbourneian, aren't you? Because you can't have a conversation without going to football at some point or another.
They got thrashed last night, poor guys. They'll be better next week.
Well, I was going to say, what happened last year?
Well, last year they were just...
The hangover.
The hangover, yeah. Yeah.
Now, we have another message.
Yeah, another message from Melina.
Hi, Melina.
Hi, says, if you were on a desert island, what three records would you take with you and why?
Oh, Melina, you're good. I would take Whispering Jack.
Oh.
Fancy, because, he's the voice. Try and understand. I would take Rumours, Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
And you've made it really hard. I think I'd take a best of Tracy Chapman. Because I really love Tracy Chapman a lot, and like when
fabulous it, voice and great and great songs,
great song, great songwriter, and downtime. I always listen to Tracy Chapman. Right. She's a popular one in my dressing room.
All right, so we're going to play another track off the album. What one is it, Neil? That we're going to be playing?
We're going to play Say Something.
Say Something.
So,
yeah,
tell us about that.
So
one.
Say Something about it.
Say Something about it. So this is was a really big hit about 3-4 years ago by a pretty unknown group called A Great Big World, and they teamed up with Christina Aguilera to do this song called Say Something, or Say Something I'm Giving Up On You, and it's my favourite track on the album.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Favourite track.
Yeah.
All right.
Sto rinunciando a te. Sarò tuo se tu vuoi che. Ovunque avrei seguito te. mi sto rinunciando a te. Parlami, sto rinunciando.
You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.